Wherever you are working now, ask yourself, if they sack me, what will I do tomorrow? Think about it. If it's I don't know, I will start looking for another job. Then you need to pray. What do I mean? Let me give an example. There are times you are working in a place, but actually you are an institution. What I mean is that you're being sacked from the place just means you have lost the contract. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You can get another contract. But what you do, you know how to do. And anytime you can do it for somebody else. Let me give you a very good example. Now, it's very easy for those who are in what they call professions. Like if you're a lawyer or you're a doctor. You are working in a chamber, in one of the chambers, like the pastor back I was telling you about, and they sack you. Know, next day, you can print card, rent office, you're on your own instantly. Okay? That's an easy way to explain it. But what I want to explain that, do you know you can create that for yourself anytime? You can be a teacher in a private school, but in your mind, you have so developed yourself, you say that if they say I should stop coming here tomorrow, by the following week, children will be coming to me. Parents will be coming to me to tutor their children. That's what I mean. You must do yourself in such a manner that you are a blessing that can stand on its own. I don't know whether you're catching what I'm trying to explain. There was one young man, I heard the story. He didn't have money, but was an enterprising young man. So he used to go from home to home in Lagos teaching. Teaching children physics, maths, chemistry, stuff like that. Then one day, he got a good job. Very lucrative job, maybe in an oil company and stuff like that. So he told the parents of the children he was teaching that he's stopping to teach their children because he has a job. The parents said, "Lie, lie, you're not going anywhere." They said, "Never, never." Do you know they had to work out an arrangement, whereas an oil company worker will still be coming back to teach physics because the parents knew that where is he going? You want to. Because once the boy catches your child, whether your son or your daughter, and starts teaching, that one will know the book by force. So he used to go from home to home, organize small groups, and be teaching. He was so good, the day he said he got a job, he's going away. The parents ganged up and said, "No, this boy is not going anywhere." That's what I mean when I say that you're a blessing that can stand on your own, even though you are working for somebody else. Listen. One thing I'm sure of is that when people say, "Do Nigeria, there's no poverty in Nigeria." I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm happy nobody said anything. Because you've seen poor people, right? But poverty in itself, especially in southern Nigeria, does not exist. I want that thing to enter your heart very well before I explain. In southern Nigeria, poverty doesn't exist. Yes, in northern Nigeria, there are some areas where poverty exists. I've seen it. But in southern Nigeria, there is nothing like poverty. There are people who don't have money, I know, but that's not what they call poverty. That's just people who are poor. I don't know what I hear that saying. Okay, let me explain what I mean. You know what they call creation? We're talking about wealth now, right? Is wealth money? No. What is wealth? Value. Impact. That's what wealth is. When I say there's no poverty in Nigeria, this is what I mean. I mean that anyone who is ready to do something, especially in southern Nigeria, will not go home hungry. Anybody. Yesterday, as I was driving into my office, before we came, we now left and came to Owerri, I saw one man in UNTH. And I said to myself, this man, people may look like a poor man, but the man can educate his children comfortably, pay his house rent, and take good care of himself. Do you know why? Enter into UNTH on a normal working day. The number of cars parked there are hundreds. People who drove to work. If each of the doctors that work there, I'm minus the youngest new doctors, no? This, a bit, the ones that have done NYC, who work in UNTH, if they each drive their cars to work, you will have at least 300 cars there that day. The doctors alone. If you add the nurses, add the administrators, the accountants, add all the other people, the number of cars parked in UNTH on a daily basis is not less than 500. You know what this man does? He washes cars. When we're in the old site, I've had to ask him. Somebody said, "Oh, guy, your car is dirty." I said, "I have not had time to wash it." He said, "Why are you bothering? Call this man." The man didn't have time. You have to queue up. He's going to wash your car. From morning till evening, he's on one car. And people love him washing their cars for a number of reasons. One, obviously, he's an honest man. Nothing gets missing in their cars. He comes to your office, you give him your keys if he knows your car. You just give him your key, tell him where you parked. And then when you are going, look for him, he gives you your key, you drive away. Nothing missing in your car. Secondly, the fellow who recommended, he said, "Oga," this is what the man told me. The fellow who recommended the man to me, he said, "This man loves cars. He doesn't have one." He said, "He will caress your car." And actually, one day I saw him washing the car. Truly, the man takes time, removes every dirt from every corner. Every day, the man is booked from morning till evening. He may not look rich, but his children can never be hungry. If his school fees, they can pay regularly. Each day, the man goes on with a comfortable amount of money. Yeah, you look at him looking very humble, as if he has nothing he's doing. He's just walking like that. He's making more money than many people who are slaving morning after and night, collecting small salary at the end of the month. Because of time, I can't go into it now, but let me introduce it. The issue of multiplication. That is another problem. A lot of us, the problem we have is that once we become fruitful, we become satisfied. I will not stay there. So maybe after washing cars like that for the first 10 years, the man is still there washing cars like that. What if he falls sick one day? That is why God said we must what? Multiply. You must multiply. That man, I see a small fault with him. I see him washing cars every day alone. I said, this man mustn't fall sick, otherwise there will be no food. That is why we must multiply. But I told his story to let us know that, listen, look, God has blessed us so much that if people will stretch themselves a bit, they can get a lot of resources. And God can now bless that thing that they are doing. The problem is that most people are content because of security to just collect a small salary and be happy. I'm charging everybody today that for God to increase you, he said you have to create wealth. How do you create wealth? You plant your seed. What is your seed? That thing you know how to do. Which you can do better than other people. Which you can improve yourself upon. Which you can fine-tune your skills in. He said, do that thing. Some can cook. Ordinary, just cook. You know, one business that does well all the time is food business. Because people are always eating. You know, there's a way businesses, economies. If you are selling expensive clothes, if there's an economic downturn, you lose all your customers. They don't have extra money. Luxury items is bought with free money. People will be removing little by little. They must live in a house. They must wear basic clothes. The last thing they can remove is food. No matter how bad things are, people must eat. And God says that is one area where I can raise many of my people. But another point is this. As much as we use the grace of God is not for lazy people. One day, my secretary at work, she told me something one day. I laughed very well. I saw her crying. I said, "Why are you crying?" No, she just passed me like that. Phew. Ah. Normally, she's a jovial person. So I chased her down and said, "Madam, come. What is the problem?" She said, "Nothing." She was wiping her eyes. "Nothing? How can you tell me there's no problem and you are crying?" So I said, okay, close, go home. Next day or the day after, I asked her, I said, "Wait, why were you crying that day?" I said, "Did your husband do you anything?" He said, "No, it's not my husband though." I said, "What happened?" She said, "Somebody took her money and ran away with it." Now this is the funny side of the story. I said, "So why are you crying?" He said, "Actually, she borrowed a lot of the money. So every time they pay salaries, she's having to pay back the money that somebody stole from her." I said, "How did they steal your money?" He said, "They told her that contribute this money, you'll get this percentage quickly, sharp, sharp. After 3 months, they double your money." I said, "What?" I said, in 2014, people still fall for that?
Somebody said he will double your money after 3 months, and you believe it. Why did he not borrow money and double his own money and pay the bank back? You know, there are some common sense things. If I can double money, this is not a money doubler. It's more of, you know, this invest money here after some time. I say if the thing really works, the man will go to the bank, borrow the money, do that business that he tells you to do with it. Because bank, interest rate at the end of the year, with all their charges, is not more than 25%. If he can give you 100% after 3 months, that is 400% in a year. Why don't you borrow the money from the bank, use it to do that business, pay the bank back 25% and collect the other 300-something%? She said, I don't know. They told me the thing was working. I said, listen, I told the woman, I said, madam, money is not free like that. I said, sometimes you ask for me. And they say, where am I? I said, I have driven to Newe. I said, I drive to Newe to go and give lecture, so they can pay me extra money. I said, when you say, hey, dog has money, you think I just sit down, money just running down from heaven. I said, when we're talking about grace, grace is not for lazy people just sit down at home. I said, I'm not doing anything. If you think it is easy to preach, come and stand like this and talk for 5 hours a day. Sometimes before I start preaching, I have first gone to talk to medical students for 2 hours. I'm a university lecturer. I said, what are you thinking? That day I laughed. I said, you will give somebody your money. After 2 or 3 months, they will give you 100% profit. I said, because you are what? You are a spirit. He said, I did not know. I said, you should have known. All I could do was laugh. I said, I didn't know it was still possible for people to get carried away by such things. The mistake is that, you know, people say that I have sowed a seed, breakthrough. That is not breakthrough. You are not creating any value. Ask yourself, one day somebody was telling something, you know, they say, okay, put money here, you make money. So they asked my wife. My wife also discovered her sister. The two of them said the same thing. What are we going to be selling? You know what they call pyramid scheme? Put money, after some time they will start paying you. Please don't do it. It's very ungodly. You know why? Those who come in last will be cheated, and you are part of those who cheated them. Don't do it. People say, enter early. No matter how early you want to enter, don't enter. It is not good money. It won't bless you. What am I saying? Let me just summarize, please, so we can close. I don't even know how long I have spoken. Okay. Let me just summarize. This is the point I'm making. We have to plant our seeds. Without the planting of our seeds, God cannot cause us to increase. He said, Paul was speaking. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, then God gave the increase. Increase comes from God, but we must plant the seed. That's what I'm saying. And the seed is not the one that many of us in Christianity, we do these days. I want more money, I go and plant seed in an offering basket. Listen, if you want more money, you pray and you do something that God can bless. When you are going to offering basket, it's thanksgiving. Do you hear what I said? Just thank God. Give God the money and go away. Stop tying a rope to your sacrifice. You know, come to the priest of God. I brought a lamb for sacrifice. So the priest said, what is that rope? The lamb must multiply. So I'm holding the rope so that if I plant this sacrifice, God does not multiply it. I go jack the thing back. That is what a lot of Christians do. In this, they are seed sowing. Anytime you go to offering basket, do it with what? A heart of what? Gratitude, sacrifice. Say, God, I have given. Anytime you give, whether it's offering basket or not, once it's a matter of spiritual giving, give and forget it. Don't say, hey, that seed I planted will bring me a Mercedes Benz. If you wanted your seed to bring a Mercedes Benz, go to where they sell Mercedes Benz and give them money. That one always brings the car, if the money is enough. The seed that brings car is enough money with the dealer. Are you getting? No, we should say this thing clearly. Christians have been confused for a long time. If you want to plant a money seed that will yield car for you, go to the dealer. Say, here is 2.5 million. Here's my seed for that car. The man will look at it and say, this is your seed. Is it correct? Yes. The price is 2.4. You return 100,000 naira to you. You drive home with your Tokumbo car. Is that not so? That is a seed for car. If it goes into an offering basket, it's not a seed for car. It is money to say, Lord, thank you for keeping me alive.
It is money to say, Lord, you are a great God. I just came to serve you. I drop it inside there. I kiss it bye-bye. I wave it bye-bye. I'm not there watching, say, God, I planted 10,000. Yes, it never multiply. What's going to happen? Is your bank on strike? We give God money and we are happy to do it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm tired of Christians always giving God things and trying to collect it back, multiplied. I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind. If you want to ask God for something, ask him. Please, I hope you're getting my point. I'm going to explain. So the seed I'm talking about now is the seed in that if I am a gifted teacher, I shouldn't just sit in the bank collecting their salary. I should look for how I can use my gift to teach. That's what I'm going to say. If I'm good with doing business, I should not sit down and just be collecting salary. For the first few years, it's okay while I try to think and use my head. After a while, I should look for how I will do business. My wife, who used to work in a bank after we got married, one day I told her, I said, oh, girl, this your stay in this bank is too long. I said, you are not a banker. Because I will ask her, what is the current interest rate in your bank? She said, I will check tomorrow. I said, how can you be checking tomorrow? I asked her, how much is dollar going for now? And when I get to the office, I say, you see, you are in the wrong job. Come home. Come home. I tell her, please, come back home. This one you are doing is not good. She had a colleague that time. I think his name was Samuel. If I go to their banking hall, they were in the same department. They were in internal control. If I go to their department, to their office, if the guy is reading anything, he used to read Financial Standard, Financial Times. Those are the things the boy was reading. When he wanted to do a master's, he did an MSc in economics. I told my wife, I said, you see, Samuel is a banker. You are not. Come home. Come home. Thank you very much. So one day she went to work and resigned. I came home. I said, praise God. I said, because if you stay there, one day money will be lost under your watch. I will come to police station to be bailing you. I know one wahala. I know fish out. Please, come home. The money they are paying you will not entice me. Come home, please. So one day she just went to work, wrote them a resignation letter, attached a month's salary in lieu of notice, and came home. I said, Lord, thank you. She has been delivered. But those, ask Kingston, those who know my wife, if my wife goes to London like this, she will trek from morning till night, shop to shop, buying things. What am I saying? 3 months. Look, my wife has grace in some areas. Sometimes she look at the garage in my house, she converted it to store. She will look and say, this clothes, you have been here for too long. You have to go. And she will lay hands on them and say, start going. Next day, madam, please, do you have black suit? Please, I'm coming. Madam, please, do you see have gown? Madam, please, madam. She'll come and say, what happened? I sold $200,000 today. I didn't go anywhere. I said, this one you have grace for, and you won't go to prison. At least I'm sure of that one. Because if you stay in that bank, you will go to jail one day. Not because you stole money, but because somebody else stole money. One of our colleagues was locked up one day because she was in internal control. What saved the girl was that people testified that she had complained. What happened? The manager of their branch and her own internal control boss connived to do a deal. And she used to notice the paper as it's going up and down. So she went to the Oga and said, Oga, what is wrong with this thing? It's not in order. The Oga said, no, leave it to us. Our big customers. So she kept quiet. Then the inspectors came and found that thing, grabbed the manager, grabbed her own boss, grabbed her and tossed her inside police cell. The girl did it, they cried. It took a while, finally they released her. They were going to sack her, they now investigated and said, well, she's too smart to know anything about it. Because she said, I told your guy that something is fishy here. The man said, I should leave it. So I told my wife, please, so that you will not go to prison, come home. Why? She didn't have the gift there. Do you get my point? Listen, locate where you have your gift. I'm not saying quit the job you are doing. Start planting that gift. God will breathe something upon it one day. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, God will breathe upon it one day, and then it will become what? Fruitful. If I have time tomorrow, I will talk a bit about multiplication, because there are three things I must mention, all right? When it comes to our planting our seeds, there are three things that we need for us to succeed as Christians. One is prayer, two is prophesying, and the third one I've been discussing is the planting of the seed. We are spiritual people and we must never forget it. Anything we are doing in life, we must pray about it and then declare the word of God upon everything that you are doing. When it begins to germinate and bear fruit, then you start getting ready for the season of what? Multiplication. Like that man I was telling you about washing cars. Yes, washed car for some years. By now, he should think about having a car washing station, where even if he doesn't go to work, some boys come there, wash, and cars driving. You can't just be content like that, washing the car alone for years. I've known that man now for nothing less than 6 to 7 years. Even though he's making money, he's not multiplying. A man like him should have a car wash after a while, where he can employ young people. Remember, it's the creation of what? Wealth. He currently is helping people keep their cars clean. But what about the small boys who are begging at junctions? If he had a car wash, they could come there and wash cars for him. Then everybody is blessed. One, if he doesn't go to work because he's sick, he's still making money. If there's no work, maybe it's a weekend, his customers know where to go. And on top of that, the boys who are working for him are also becoming what? Fruitful. They are employed. And until you reach that level of multiplication in life, you have not fully done the will of God. Fruitfulness is the first stage. Multiplication is where we are going to. Think about it. If every time I have to preach, I have to be physically present, how many people can I bless? No, think about it for a moment. I'm here today, then I go somewhere tomorrow. How many people? But think about it. We have a website that people download messages 24 hours round the clock. Each month, at least by the heat counter, the heat counter says we have over 4,000 unique visitors to the website downloading materials. Let's even assume that maybe their IP is changed. They are not less than 2,000 as of today, who on a monthly basis will go there, click. So even if I'm sleeping, somebody is listening to me preach. We have come with CDs now. Some of you have bought the CDs. There's one particular MP3 we did, which is just 300 naira. It has 43 messages. If you carry that one home, you give it to your neighbor. Who gives to the neighbor? We are allowed to share and copy. You can copy to 20 people, we don't care. While I'm sleeping, 20 people are being blessed by what I preached in a whole year. You know, it's easy to explain when it comes to ministry, but do you know in business it's like that? You have to get to a level where your business runs, whether you are there or you are not there. Do you get my point? Teaching alone is good, but after a while you should have a school. One day you should have a university. I've already warned you, university won't make you money. You know, I warned you ahead. No, university is not for those who are looking for money. It's for those who want to bless the society. The only selfish thing you can get out of a university is a name. So you put your name on it, Bankole Olushina University. If it's money you are not making, forget it. You are not. You just need to put your name in case you want. So if you now do those who don't even put their name, they now put it as God Bless University. That one, just know that it's pure multiplication for the kingdom's sake. But if you own a school, you will also get there in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen like you believe it, please. Amen. I think I've spoken enough for this night. I still have to speak tomorrow morning. Did I not? I did it in the morning, no? I did, though. Oh, yeah, around in the morning. You came late. The way you're smiling, be like, say you are guilty as charged. I did in the morning. I explained that what the world calls rich is not what we call rich. Like I've been explaining now. For example, the world, if I own a university, they assume that I'm rich because I have money. But I've already explained to you that most likely I'm not making any money. But I'm happy that 10,000 universities, students, they passed through it. The other day, you know, because I work in a university, I got an email from our faculty saying that the number one university in I think in Africa, or is it in Nigeria, on what they call webometrics, forget the details, is Covenant University. Covenant University is a recent university that started. One day, NUC was profiling universities on infrastructure. Covenant University Otta came first. Beat UNILAG, beat IFE, beat all these federal government universities that have been there forever. Infrastructure, they came number one. That man doesn't need money. That's what he wants. I know him very well, Bishop Oedeko. That's just what he wants. Now, when they do the what they call the webometrics, they came first in Nigeria. And that's what the man is trying to do. That is what they call spiritually rich. It's not whether you personally have money. It's whether you are creating value in the lives of other people. And very importantly, whether you are walking by faith in your own life. We said, a rich man spiritually can be trekking. I said that in the morning. It doesn't mean you have a car. Many people who are poor physically, they are rich spiritually. Many people depend on them for spiritual substance. The little money they have, they are sharing with other people. They are helping people on a daily basis. They are rich. We said that. Physically, check his bank account. Balance, 25 naira. He doesn't have money there. When he wants to go out, he stops a keke napep. He doesn't have a car. Yet there are people who have everything. Four cars in their compound. They have a house worth 200 million naira. Their bank balance is never less than 25 million at any time. But God looks and says, this guy is very poor. Why? He's living only for himself. He has gathered money for himself. Everything is just for myself. That fellow is poor. One day he'll wake up in the morning, God's angels will be angry. They behead him and say, give us your soul. We are taking it home. I described that in the morning. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you are blessed this evening. Let's just bow down our heads and begin to thank God for his word. Say, Lord, I'm a creator of wealth. 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 Just declare it. Declare it. Say, I'm a creator of wealth. Don't say any other thing. Just declare. I'm a wealth creator. I'm fruitful and I multiply. I'm a wealth creator. I'm fruitful and I multiply. I'm a wealth creator. I'm fruitful and I multiply. I'm a wealth creator. I am fruitful. I multiply. The Spirit of Christ in me makes me a wealth creator. The Spirit of Christ in me makes me a wealth creator. I am fruitful and I multiply. I'm fruitful and I multiply. The Spirit of Christ in me makes me a wealth creator. The Spirit of Christ in me makes me a wealth creator. I am fruitful and I multiply. The Spirit of Christ in me makes me a wealth creator. I am fruitful and I multiply. Spiritually, say it, I am rich. I am rich. I don't live for myself, I live for God. I don't live for myself, I live for God. I don't live for myself, I live for God. I live to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. I use money to do the will of God. Declare it, declare it. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. This word of God will work in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will work in your hands in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will work in your home in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will pass these words to even your children in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I feel very prophetic right now. Many people listening to me, all your children will be multi-millionaires in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All, every single one of them. Every single one will reap the rewards of righteousness in your life and the truth of God that you will pass across to them, and they will be world changers in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel like telling you this story. Mary Kay Ash. I don't know how many of you heard of Mary Kay Ash. You may have heard of Mary Kay Cosmetics. Okay. Mary Kay started her business after she retired. By the time she died, Mike Murdoch valued her wealth at over $2 billion. Yet she did not start until she had retired. The man that started McDonald's, you know of McDonald's, he started that business also as an old man. What am I trying to say? The Bible says you will be fruitful in old age.
Amen.
That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. You will be fruitful in old age. That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I say you will be fruitful even in old age. And I said, that is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, there is nothing like there's poverty in our family. You have believed, you have been delivered.
Amen.
Prosperity is your portion.
Amen.
Spiritual prosperity, that is your portion.
Amen.
It will manifest in material things for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Poverty is broken out of your life.
Amen.
And from your generations.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Father, we thank you.